Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week we're in Bloomington. Mayor John Hamilton, hello, welcome to the show. Really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us for a little bit.
Always good to be with you, Joe.
Don't forget you can submit your questions to news@indianapublicmedia.org. You can tweet us at Ask the Mayor. Before we go with my list, we just had some breaking news about an hour and a half ago about an armed suspect in a storm sewer drain, I believe. Do you have any information? And I know we're doing this at the time that was 1:48 on a Tuesday, and a lot will change by the time some people hear this, but what are you hearing right now?
Well, thanks, Joe. There's an active deployment of the response vehicle that we have in the CERTRA team, the critical incident team. There is somebody who we believe may be armed who has apparently gone into the storm sewer system under downtown. So that's a little complicated situation. There's a pursuit going on and containment, and no shots have been fired so far as I know. This individual is known to the police and they're pursuing them using a few technical means, and I hope it'll get resolved safely and peacefully soon, but at the moment we're having to kind of keep people away from a certain downtown area.
Yeah, and you say, I don't know how much you can say about the technical means of what they're doing to try and get the suspect.
Well, it's complicated. It's a 20-foot wide, completely dark storm sewer, and we don't want to send individuals down there if he is armed with a rifle, which we believe he may be. So we're going to use some other means, whether it's canines or whether it's mechanical means, to try to find out exactly where he is and, you know, use whatever we can to talk him out of it and get out of there and get things resolved peacefully and safely. And I'm hopeful we will, but it's a still active situation as far as I know.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on with some of the latest news this past week. Even Gigabit Now, new service provider that will work with Meridiam throughout Bloomington for high-speed internet. So this is big news, something we've been waiting for that next domino to fall, and this is a big one, isn't it?
This is. You know, we've talked before about Meridiam and the fact that they're going to bring gigabit fiber to the whole community, not leave any neighborhoods behind, and also designed in an infrastructure sense, meaning fiber that will be available to other users, to other providers. The first provider out of the gate is, as you mentioned, Gigabit Now, so that was just announced. That's a West Coast-based internet service provider. We're very pleased, and Joe, part of this that I'm most excited about probably is the digital equity component of this. I think, as far as we know, we have the best digital equity program in the country that's going to offer essentially zero cost, very good internet speed to a lot of our members of the community who have financial challenges. So we're really excited about that. I do warn people there may be some construction beginning next month as we move forward with this, and it'll be coming to your neighborhood, but be patient, and it's kind of like stringing up the first electric wires going all over the city. This is the fiber that's going to go all across the city, and it's a very exciting time.
So you say no cost, high speed internet. Can you compare that to what that would mean for some of these people?
Sure. Well, we're working with Meridiam, and the city is contributing to this too, and Meridiam is as well, a program that will offer essentially any household that has food stamps, free and reduced lunch, Social Security, disability, other such means-tested programs will be able to get $30 a month internet, which is the exact amount that the federal government will subsidize under those programs, and also free drop to the house. That's often the $500, $800 cost that you have to pay to get that drop. We'll make that zero. And that could be thousands of households in the Bloomington area over the next year or two to get that connection. And they will receive, under the current program, 250 megabit speed up and down. Now, that's faster than most of us get right now at our home under current services. So it's really excellent service at a zero effective cost. So that's why I call it really exciting, best digital equity program we know of in the country.
Those numbers sometimes may not mean a lot. So does that mean that someone can watch, you know, HDTV in the living room, and the kids can be on the internet doing their homework at the same time?
It means you can have multiple things going on: streaming movies, downloading video interaction. It's very high speed. It's quarter of a gigabit, but most of us right now are getting 50 megabit, 25, maybe 100 for many of us, and this is 250 up and down.
Mm-hmm. So Meridiam provides the infrastructure, just so people understand, and Columbus too is on board with this.
Columbus and I think Shelbyville both.
Yeah, and they're getting the, I guess, tax breaks in order to provide this service.
Meridiam is building the fiber. It's, think about building the digital roads, all the fiber that's going to be all throughout the community and reach every, pass every household. And then the internet service provider, Gigabit Now, uses those fiber networks to provide the services directly to you. So different from AT&T and Comcast, which do both the infrastructure and the service, this is basically creating kind of a company that will build the roads, build the fiber roads, and then having other entities that can use those roads to reach us and provide the services.
So then why Gigabit Now, and why not, you mentioned AT&T and these other services, don't they see this as an unfair competitive?
Well, it's really up to Meridiam, the owner of the infrastructure, to find the provider who wants to use it. It's certainly open to AT&T and Comcast to have sought to be that relationship. In our contract with Meridiam, after a number of years, perhaps 4 or 5 years, those digital roadways, if you will be wide open to anybody who wants them. So Smithville, AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, T-Mobile, anybody who wants to can come in and use those and provide services to you or to a business or to the city as a whole.
Let's move on to the convention center process. Moving on, a lot is happening again. The city wants to take over control of the convention center. There was one really good meeting with a select few of different entities between government and city officials. But I think the only thing that maybe everyone agreed on is that the convention expansion needs to happen. But I'm not sure anything much has happened more than that. Do you have any more information?
Well, thanks for asking. I know that from the city side, we feel strongly that this is an important investment in the downtown. I'm not sure everybody agrees that the expansion needs to happen, and we're still a little concerned about the timing of the moving forward. But I think we'll work something out, Joe. Look, there's public funding that's available to build an expansion right downtown. The city is ready to move forward. We're not sure if the county is ready to transfer the existing convention center into a new entity to do that. But we're talking, we're waiting for the next meeting. It's been a little delay getting a next meeting set up. The county hasn't responded yet. But we're continuing to talk, and I believe that there are enough of us who see the future and the importance of this downtown anchor to get better and better and expand that we'll figure out a way to get it done.
It seems like the commissioners really want to move forward with that, the CIB, and that's something at that meeting that the city is not interested in. Is there some way to look at that again or no?
Well, the issue with the CIB, which is a capital improvement board defined by the state law, is that it's really a creature of county government, and any CIB can only act if it's got approval from county bodies. And those county bodies, I just think, I'm not sure, are ready to move forward with that, to approve the kind of things that need to be approved. So those discussions are ongoing. I think there's a path forward one way or the other if the transfer happens, and it's really just a transfer from one government to another. To manage the process. We'll charge ahead with that. If the county is not ready to do that, we'll try to identify another means to go forward.
The city was interested in a nonprofit 501c3 to run the convention center? But the commissioner pointed out some problems with that, with some taxpayer grounding if litigation is filed or losing public input with an organization like that. Is that concerning?
No, not really. There are a lot of 501c3s around the state and around the country that play very productive and transparent and open roles. There are not issues with that are described there. They can be very effective. In fact, the county and the city both have 501c3s right now that operate in this way. It's a 501c3 that actually owns the county property for the convention center, and the city has a 501c3 also. So it's a typical approach.
So no meeting scheduled from
what I heard? As far as I know, we're still waiting to have the county set up a meeting, agree to a meeting.
Any changes in the budget since the departmental hearings in August? What's next?
Well, I'm very pleased. We've got a really transformational budget. This is, I've said, it's a new era for Bloomington. We have an expanded budget. We're able to invest in climate change and in housing and in equity and in public transportation and in public safety in really important ways. We will be having a formal budget hearing on September 28th. The only change that was made in the numbers that were presented to the council are we have added $100,000 into that budget to support reproductive rights response. We know the state has taken action with Senate Bill 1 that basically outlaws all abortions, and we want to indicate that's a huge challenge for the people of Bloomington, and we want to put some money in the budget to help support organizations that help those people who are facing that kind of challenge.
So what happens now with the budget?
Hearing at the City Council on September 28th, and then a couple weeks after that, there'll be, we hope, a final hearing October 12th. I think maybe that Wednesday is the final hearing, and we hope to get an affirmative vote from the council. Discussions ongoing, continuing to work with them. And again, I'm very, very pleased with this budget helping us move into literally a new era for Bloomington. With new and never before investments in affordable housing, never before kind of investments in public transportation and in public safety. And, you know, it's a hard time to be an employer. Anybody who's an employer knows that. So it's also investing in the city as an employer to make sure we are treating our employees right and that we're a real employer of choice.
You know, I just had to get your take. You know, the second scooter crash with two deaths now. And I know there is some, maybe a scooter ordinance in the new budget for maybe some more enforcement. Just your response to this, the scooters.
Just reminding folks, you know, scooters are kind of a new thing that came to our city and many others across the country in the last 3 or 4 years. We've actually had, I believe the latest data I saw, Joe, was 1.2 million scooter rides in Bloomington since they've arrived. So there are hundreds being taken every day. And they're a way for a lot of people to get around that's different. We have tragically had two deaths this year, just in the last 6 weeks, from scooter riders. One was a scooter rider alone death. The most recent was really what we know from the criminal report is it was a hit and run. Based on somebody ran over a scooter rider and they died. So we're definitely looking at ways to, of course, deal with impaired driving. That was what appeared to be the cause of the latest death, and that's a huge issue for us to all continue to focus on. And then there may be some changes. We're doing some increased enforcement about scooters. We may be looking at some what they call corrals where you park scooters. Some of the concern is where they're parked, but for safety too, I think Indiana University is going to undertake some safety training, and we may look at some hour controls. The two fatalities both happened very late at night, really early morning, and it may be that that's a more dangerous time that we should look at controlling their use.
I'm just about out of time, but I did want to ask you about this new initiative called Zero in Bloomington. It tracks the progress toward reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but it's community-wide. So how does that work, and how can people get involved with that?
So thanks. Anybody who wants to, please log on to that Zero in Bloomington program. I've done it myself. You can register. And it's a way just to kind of track what you do, what we're doing as a community and individuals, what we're doing, walking to work instead of driving to work, different kind of solar things you're happening at home. And I want to encourage that. Now, I do want to say, look, climate change does not get resolved by individual actions alone like this. Systemic and infrastructure overall changes are important, and we'll be actually having a first regional climate convening in a couple weeks here in town. So I'll encourage people to look and participate and watch for that too. But as individuals, it's helpful for us to know, are you riding your bike more? Are you walking more? Are you composting? Are you using solar on your roof? So if it helps us if people will register for that, and we can kind of keep track of that and help you know you're part of the solution.
That was all I had. Did you have any announcements or anything else you'd like to tell everyone?
I think, Joe, we've covered it. There's always things going on in Bloomington, aren't there?
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You bet.